Well, good morning again. I trust you all had a blessed Christmas. Welcome to our last service for 2008. And you have to wonder, where did this year go to? Time truly marches on. It's amazing to me. We just bring one year in, close another year out, and we just keep moving forward. But as we close out this year, we do so in knowing that God truly has brought us through the year, and He promises to be with us in 2009. And we approach 2009 cautiously, knowing that we face many challenges. Our country is in a recession, along with globally. The world in a recession, along with our recession. Our land is divided on many issues, perhaps more than it has been a long, long time. And as a church, we approach 2009 believing God is calling us to follow His leading to a new location. And we're in the process of working on that. And myself and the board continue to covet your prayers for that direction and what's happening with that. We do really covet your prayers on that. As we move forward with that, I believe that hopefully in January, mid-January or so, I'll have more information for you, probably have a members meeting and kind of share where we're going with that as God directs us that. But clearly in the midst of all of this, we can hear the call of God to draw near to Him. Regardless of what 2009 does bring, we know one thing for sure, we will need God to see us through it. Amen? Good, bad, and indifferent, we need the Spirit of God. Clearly, we need that reassurance of Emmanuel that God is with us. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we need to know that God is with us. And as we close out this year, we bring to close another Christmas season. And Christmas, of course, promises us just what we need to be reminded daily. That Emmanuel is here, that God is with us. We need to know that on a daily basis. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what the angels proclaimed on the night of Jesus' birth, and we saw that God did assure us that He is with us and for us. So as we close out this season and look to the new year, we thank God for that reminder that He is with us and He is for us. He's on our side. And we also saw that if we were to live according to the angels' proclamation, if we did nothing else but live according to what the angels proclaimed, we would do very well. And there, it's quite simply, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. That was their proclamation. And we saw that we are called to give God glory in all that we do. And we looked into the glory of God and all that it means, and what does the glory of God mean to us, and that there is that overwhelming presence of His glory and His majesty and His pureness, but that we are to exhibit glory in our lives, His glory, as we bless Him and obey Him. And we saw that we are to have the peace with God and the peace of God and peace with others as well. So we said, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, that if we just followed that, if we just walked in God's peace, if we gave Him glory, we would do well. And we said, and that just that short proclamation of what the angel said, it kind of puts, God puts the message of the gospel all right into that proclamation. It kind of says the meaning of the depth of the gospel. But there's an end of the angel's statement that's equally important. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards man. And when the angels proclaimed that, they meant it, and it still is relevant for today. But what does goodwill towards man really mean? What does it mean for us? What is God saying to us through the angel's message? Glory to God in the highest. On earth, here, where we live now, the peace of God and goodwill towards man. I mean, we sort of understand goodwill. We would get the understanding of the difference between goodwill and ill will or bad will. Somebody wishing us ill or wishing us harm. Goodwill, we kind of get that. But what exactly is God saying to us? When the angels proclaimed it that night and they said goodwill towards man, what does that mean to us and for us? The original language helps clarify it, and the word where it says goodwill is really a compound word that means to take delight in, to think well of, and to extend favor towards. God thinks well of you, God takes delight in you, and God extends His favor towards you. Here's how the NIV says it along with some of the translations. Glory to God in the highest, on the earth peace to men, on whom His favor rests. And that's not totally inaccurate. That's actually a pretty good way of trying to express the goodwill of God. And we can see that. God's will, goodwill towards you, God's favor on you. If God is for you and with you, and we understand that, The question becomes then, can we expect God's favor? And what does it mean to expect God's goodwill, God's favor in our lives? And I want to try to help understand a little better, but when we think of favor, it's a little differently than what it's meant here. Will you do me a favor? I have a favor to ask you. We say those things, or somebody did me this favor, and we make this little mental note of what that means. But Webster defines favor as this: something done or granted out of goodwill, rather than from justice or for payment, a kind act. Favor is done something or something done without payment. The reality is, if we do someone a favor, we make this mental note of it, and sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll think, well, they kind of owe me one. Remember when I did this for you? Well, can you do this for me? And a lot of the world operates in that way, but that's not really what favor is all about. And that's not the true understanding of favor. It's not the true meaning of favor. Favor should expect nothing in return. Worldly favor expects a return. Worldly favor operates all the time in the business world, in the political world, even in the social world. We do something or somebody does something, we just kind of expect, you know, someday we're going to call that in. That's not the meaning of favor, and it's not at all the meaning of godly favor. Godly favor is something entirely different. And so we should ask, what is godly favor? Will God do favors for me? Is it biblical to expect God to do me a favor? What does it mean? What did he mean when he said goodwill towards you? Towards men in this world, men in this world. What's that mean? Now Romans 2:11 in the King James says, for there is no respect of persons with God. The NIV says it this way, for God does not show favoritism. And the scriptures have proclaimed that. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 tell us that God is no respecter of persons, that he does not show favoritisms. James 2 warns us against showing favoritism in the church. One comes in with fine clothes and doing very well, and we say, you sit here in a prominent spot. And somebody else would come in that's not doing as well, or they're poor, and you say, the scripture says, you know, sit at my footstool, or sit in a bad place, or you're not as respected of it. And James chastises us and says, don't you even think of showing favoritism within the church. God calls that a sin to have treat one differently than the next, and one with less respect. God says that's sinful. And when you consider our prayers, most of them are asking God to do something special on our behalf, aren't they? I mean, that's just reality. God, I need you to do this thing in my life. I need this special move of God. I need your blessing. I need your direction. Whatever it is, we're asking God for something unique and special in our lives. Are we asking for a favor? Does God owe us anything? Thankfully, we have many biblical references to help clarify this, but the first time we see the word favor is in Genesis. At the beginning of the 18th chapter, the Lord and two angels appear unto Abraham, eat with him, and prophesy of Sarah's pregnancy. And in the midst of all this, Abraham says this, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. And Abraham, in fact, did find favor with God, and his favor was to be the father, the chosen father of many nations. And so we first begin to see that God brought favor in his life. We know as well the story of Joseph, found later in Genesis. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, the Midianite merchants. They, in turn, sold him to the Egyptian Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh. We know the story. Potiphar had Joseph working in his house. Everything Joseph did, the Lord blessed. God was with him. He began to rise to prominence until one day Potiphar's wife decided Joseph was extremely attractive and she desired to sleep with him. Joseph fled the house, left his coat behind, basically. He flees, Potiphar's wife lies, and Joseph is thrown into prison. Now, if that was your life story, you'd be saying, I wonder where God is in all of this in my life. What's happening with this? But in Genesis 39, we find this. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. I mean, we can stop for just a minute there and say, it doesn't matter where you're at, what life has found you, what place you are in life, God is with you. It doesn't matter where you're at, what's happening in your life, what you've done, what you've not done, what's caused to happen, the deepest, darkest, difficult time. God is with you. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, where'd the favor come from? God. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in prison. Wherever they did there, it was his doing. Time doesn't permit us to tell us the whole story of Joseph, nor is it necessary at this moment, but Joseph eventually became the second in charge of all of Egypt. Even in his dark situation, God was able to grant favor to Joseph. Abraham found favor with the Lord. Joseph found mercy and favor with the Lord. If we looked into Daniel, we'd find that he found favor with the prince. At least we think that favor of God was only found in the Old Testament. Let's consider Luke chapter 1. And you could go there this morning if you'd like. It's page 688 in your pew Bibles. Luke 1, 688. But Luke is describing the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. He speaks first of Zacharias and Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist. And then we come to Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Mary found favor with God. And Mary was not alone in finding favor with God or finding godly favor. If you just run over to the next chapter, head over to the next chapter in Luke, we found the account of Jesus, 12 years old, in town with his parents for the feast of the Passover. And we know that story as well. After the feast, Mary and Joseph head home thinking Jesus is with them. They travel for a day. They realize he's not with them or with some of the relatives. They head back. They find him in the temple courts listening to the teacher and discussing scripture. And Luke 2, verse 46 says this, "Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." And I want you to notice something here, that those that were there were astonished at Jesus and his understanding of the Word of God. You know, even the teachers were amazed at what this 12-year-old understood and knew in the Word of God. And yet, verse 51 talks about it. He then went down with them, meaning his parents, and came to Nazareth, was subject to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart. And look at verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Jesus grew in favor with God and man. That's amazing there to me, that you can grow in the favor of God. He grew in wisdom and he grew in favor. Now the word shows us that God does not show favoritism. He is no respecter of persons. The reality is, we'll find out in a moment, that's actually good news. That's important for us to understand that. He does show favor and he does cause favor in the lives he loves. And precisely because he does not show favoritism means he will bring favor in the lives of all of us. That he won't take one individual and set them aside and say, "You know, you're just kind of my favorite. I just think you're great, and I'm going to bless you above everybody else." He doesn't do that. So he is no respecter of persons. He treats every individual, every child of God, the same as the next, loves us equally, and he brings favor into all our lives. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill to all of mankind. There is born to you a Savior this day, for you, to all of us. Now the word favor in the Old Testament Hebrew means graciousness, kindness, favor. The New Testament Greek, the word means graciousness, divine influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life. I like that. God's divine influence upon our heart, your heart, my heart, and how it's reflected in our life. It means favor, gift, grace. And here's where it gets interesting. The same word translated favor is also translated grace. Its application of grace is what we would call unmerited favor. We've said that for years. You have God's grace. You didn't earn it. It's unmerited. And that's actually an oxymoron, if you would, because you really can't merit favor. And so we say grace is unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it or earn it. But when you really understand favor, you don't deserve it or earn a favor in the first place. Now, in our life personally, in the natural, we can understand that there are those that would seem to warrant doing them a favor or inclined to do a favor because of their behavior. Their graciousness warrants it. You understand what I'm saying? And in the natural, we may know somebody that is just a gracious person and is a blessing and is just a delight to be around, and they're easier to do a favor for. We would get that. And it's almost like you delight in doing somebody like that a favor because they're always so gracious in doing for everybody else or for you. You follow what I'm saying with that? So we get this, you know, well, this person, they kind of deserve a favor. But when we understand favor, especially biblical favor, it doesn't matter. You don't earn a favor. And in fact, when we say, will you do me a favor, what you're really saying is, hey, I have no right to ask this of you. I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, but I need you to do something for me. I would like you to do that, and would you do me a favor? With God, we have favor because of our relationship with Him. We never earn it. It's favor. It's a gift. Goodwill, favor on your life from the Spirit of God. I remember years ago, long before I knew the Lord, I was very involved in automobiles. I went to GM training school, and we were into racing cars and all that type of thing. And we had I knew all the latest tricks for the cars that came out. It was the muscle car era, you know. And I talk with a lot of the young kids today, Tyler and others, and you know, they just, man, you grew up in the muscle car era. The guys that love cars would like to go back to the muscle car area because we just love that time. And I remember an individual that came over one day and had a fairly new muscle car, and I did all these special tricks to it. I mean, it took all day long, and it increased its speed. It was faster. It was stronger. I was really up on all that. I spent all day doing this for him, and he loved it. And about during that week, he thought he'd try making a few more adjustments, and he made some adjustments on this thing, and he brought it back, and I mean, it just wasn't running. So I spent the better part of a day fixing this thing again, you know, and it ran good. Well, about two weeks or so later, right about in that same time frame, I remember I had a specific muscle car, and I was coming down the road. It was fairly new, and I was on the freeway, and it just quit running, you know, as cars tend to do at times. So I coasted off the side, got back to the house, and needed a ride or a place or somehow to tow this thing back. Well, don't you know this individual shows up? Well, I'm thinking, this is perfect. You know, you can help me tow my car. Well, he had to go swimming that day, and he didn't have time for that. You know, now, you're reacting pretty much like how I reacted. Only I wasn't so sanctified back then, and I probably had a few things to say, and I remember harboring that for a long time. And though I bring the story up now, I promise you I'm still not harboring it. But I did for a while. Why? Because I did him a favor. Didn't he owe me a favor? Well, wait a minute. That's not the understanding of favor. If I decided to bless him or help him and do this thing, I just did it for him. It's nothing in return, or it's not a favor. Now, we understand that, but with God, we have favor because of our relationship with him. We never earn it. It's a gift. And you are more familiar with the term favor than you think. Favor, grace. It's from the Greek word charis. It's where we get our word grace. It's where we get our word for the gifts of the Spirit. The charismata gifts, they're called. It's why we call ourselves a charismatic church. Listen, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a sign of God's favor on us. And when the scripture in Ephesians 2:8 tells us you are saved by grace, for by grace you are saved, it's by charis, you are saved. It is the same word. You are saved by grace. You have God's favor by grace. It is the same word in your life, grace and favor, is this word kairos. And while we can never earn our salvation, and we understand that, salvation is a gift of grace. You are saved by kairos. We don't earn it. We just walk in it, and we're grateful for it. We can never truly earn God's favor. It's not an issue of earning it. It's an issue of walking in it, and that should cause you to shout this morning. Because the reality is we all know in our lives that the way we act in our lives and the way we behave, some days other versus another, we have no right to ask favor from God. We have no right to expect favor from God. How dare I behave in one moment in anger or lust or something else that is sinful, and then the next moment, the next day, say, Lord, I need this special favor from you. Well, we would look at it and say, well, I have no right to ask that. Precisely. You had no right to ask for your salvation either, did you? You had no right to stand before the Father, but because of God's kairos, because of his grace in your life, you were saved by grace through faith. The blood of Christ washed you clean when you believed in him and you acted on that belief and you became saved. And God said, the angels proclaimed, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, on earth in your life, and goodwill towards you from God, the favor of God resting on your life. We can never earn God's favor, but we can walk in it in a greater manner. We can also, for lack of a better way of saying it, allow me to say, appropriate it, if you will, in prayer. Consider this. If I know I am biblically sound in believing God for healing, and I know that I'm biblically sound in saying God heals today, that he's a healer, and I believe God for healing, and in prayer I walk in healing because I believe it, because I've been taught it, because I believe it, I will walk more in healing than others. Amen? You follow what I'm saying with that? If you are of the person or the type of thinking that says God used to heal in the past that has died away, or God heals sometimes and maybe for some people, then you're going to have less healing in your life. But if you study Scripture and you see Scripture and you understand that God is still a healer today, he is still a God of miracles today, and you know that you are biblically sound in believing that, and you go to God in prayer and you say, Lord, I need healing, or I'm praying for so-and-so to be healed, or I'm laying hands on somebody to be healed, we will see more healing in that because we know it to be a biblical truth. Amen? And we'll function in it just as well. If I know that I am biblically sound in my belief that God will cause favor in my life, then I will believe God more for it in prayer, and I will walk more in the favor of God. Do you see how that works? Now, if you have this attitude that God is, you know, he loves this person more than me, and I'm not his favorite, and I have no right to be his favorite because I know how I've been behaving lately, and I expect nothing from God, you're not going to get God's favor in your life. Because you're not going to walk in it, you're not going to appropriate it. Even your salvation is by faith. You are saved, kairos, by grace through faith. You have to have that faith to appropriate the salvation, to step out in faith and believe what God is saying is true. And all of a sudden, you now become a child of God. And then once you become a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you can't shake the fact that you're saved. You know that. Now remember, God is no respecter of persons. He does not show favoritism. God does allow favor in the lives of those who love him, and you can find favor in the eyes of God. Because we see biblical examples of God's favor, and because he is no respecter of persons, because he does not show favoritism, we can expect it too. It doesn't mean that you will be another Abraham or Mary, but you can and should have God's favor in your life according to his plan and will for you. And that's probably something important there as well. Because sometimes we think having God's favor is going to heap riches on us or get something, you know, materialistic that we need, you know, whatever that may be. And James says, you're asking amiss, you're asking for your own desires, that's not right. But God's favor will come in your life according to his plan and his will for you. It does not mean, don't misunderstand, I'm saying, God will bring favor in your life. He can bring favor in your business. If you have a business or your livelihood or whatever your financial issue is, he can bring you favor in that area. All of us should prosper. All of us should walk in the blessings of God. And what I'm trying to say is I want a balance here. I'm not trying to say that God's favor is going to bring me all this materialistic good and all these riches. I'm not saying that. But in every area of my life, every area of your life, you should see God's favor. Things should go your way. Things should be blessing in your life. You should do well in your finances. You should do well in your household. You should do well in your relationships. You should do well with your relationship with other individuals outside of your family just as well because you have the favor of God. And notice that even Jesus grew in favor with God and man. That you can walk in favor with men and women as well in a healthy biblical way because God brings favor in your life. For God to be no respecter of persons means he does not treat me any different than he treats you, or doesn't treat you any different than he treats me. We are the same. He treats all of his children with the same grace and favor. The application in our lives will be different. And if we believe him more in prayer, it will be different. But not because of God, not because he's doing something different. It's because of what you're praying for. Father, thank you for favor in this situation. As we are praying about what's going to happen, the direction of God is the church, and as I said, we'll hopefully have more in January, there is some favor we need from God in this situation. And I'm believing God for favor in it, and it will be revealed to you as we share more of it. But God has to move with favor. He has to bless us with favor in the blessings of God. And we're believing him for it, and we're believing he's directing us in the same way. But it's all tied together. Three places in Exodus we see the Lord gave the people favor in sight of the Egyptians. Not one or two people, not just the leaders, all the people. In chapter 2 of the book of Acts, speaking specifically of all the believers, it says they broke bread in their homes, praising God and having favor with all the people. We should expect it. Understanding this can change your life. Rather than being timid in prayer, all of a sudden you become more confident, you become bolder. You can go before your God knowing that he wants to give you favor, wants to bring goodwill in your life. He delights in you. The compound word says that he thinks well of you, he takes delight in you, he extends his favor towards you. And you go to God knowing that, that you didn't earn it, that you don't deserve it. It's his grace. It's his favor because he loves you. It's his goodwill towards you in your life. Thank God for his goodwill in our lives. Amen? Thank God for his goodwill in our lives. We need the goodwill of God. You can begin to trust God for favor in your life. You should specifically be praying for favor. Father, thank you for favor in this area. Thank you that I get favor with this person or with this situation. I need your favor. I need your favor at work. I need your favor with this relationship or whatever it may be. Father, I need your favor. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. You serve a God of favor who delights in showing you favor, which is a direct result of your relationship with him. Psalms 5, verses 12 says this, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." I like that. Thank you, Lord, you will bless those that know you, the righteous that are saved by grace. The just, the righteous, the saved. "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." The King James says that God will encompass you with favor, which is the same thing as surrounding you with favor. And it's a shield, and it's a type of shield used to cover the whole body. You are shielded completely with the favor of God. No wonder it says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Do you understand the beauty of that psalm? That he's saying it's like a body armor that surrounds the whole body and protects all of you. He says he will surround you with the favor of God. He will bless the righteous. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Well, whoever finds me finds life is speaking of your salvation, is it not? Eternal life. And it's confirming in your very salvation you are promised favor. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. You are saved by grace, favor. Why would God stop at that point? Okay, I've saved you. You're going to eventually be in heaven. You're kind of on your own till then. Try not to mess up too much, but I'll see you in heaven. And man, that's nice because I'm enjoying it up here. I can hardly wait to see you. But I'll see you when you get there. I hope you make it. You should. You'll be all right. You know, God never said that. Man, thank God is right. I have saved you by grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But I saved you because I love you. And I want to give you favor in your life, goodwill, blessings, because I love you. Listen to Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Wonderful scripture. And first is telling us by keeping God's teaching commands, you will prolong your life and bring you peace and blessing. Now, that's good right there, isn't it? Prolong your life, give you the blessings of God and the peace of God. Then when you act in love and faithfulness, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. See how that's tying it together? See, there is favor. There's a favor of God in your life just by being his child. You have God's favor just because you're saved, and you can expect that favor. Interestingly enough, the scripture says there is further favor when you start behaving like his child, and that's what that scripture told us. As you start acting more Christ-like, you will find more favor in your life, and both with God and with man. Erdman says it this way: it means that the practice of loyalty and faithfulness will bring about not only divine favor and human favor, but divine and human recognition as possessing true understanding. In other words, as you begin to act more like God wants you to act, all of a sudden you have favor with men in a greater way, and you have more favor from God. And Urban goes on to say, we find the greatest example of this in Luke 2:52. And what is Luke 2:52? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, stature there means maturity as an age. He increased, he grew in age, but also can mean spiritual maturity. As we grow in spiritual maturity, as we grow in the things of God, maturing in our heart and our lives, we can walk more in the favor of God. You can grow in wisdom, you can grow in maturity, and you can grow in the favor of God and man. We should have it in our lives. Well, we should raise our voice and proclaim, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. We begin to see why God kind of took the whole gospel and put it in that short proclamation, because it really says it all. And we can see why if we just lived our lives giving God glory in all that we do, glorifying him in all we do. Remember when we studied that, we said, if you have something in your life and you say, wonder, should I do this or should I have this thing? Is this good in my life? Ask yourself the question, does it glorify God? If it does not glorify God, you don't want anything to do with it. Amen? If it takes glory away from God, if it dishonors God, don't touch it. So give God glory in all that we do. Work towards doing that. It's a process of sanctification. We saw that in that part of the message. Having peace with God in our salvation, having the peace of God in our lives, having peace with others as we walk in love and allow God to help that, and walking in God's goodwill and favor. I'll sign up for that. Amen? Let's stand together. Who earnestly seeks good finds favor. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. And who will be a favorite to some of you, if not all of you? Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Amen? Let's worship our God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
Pray. Father, as we gather once again and as we bring this year to a close, we thank you for your grace, for your charis, for the favor of God that has been exhibited in our lives throughout this year. Our prayer this day, Father, is one that we are quicker to recognize it. When we are blessed, when things go our way, that it's not because of our own doing, not because of our own abilities, but because of the favor of God, the goodwill of God that rests in our lives. As we go now, Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your favor. Father, I ask for you to have your angels encompass all your people as they go. May your angels encamp about them and bless them and watch over them and protect them and keep them safe. May your favor be manifested in every area of their life. In Jesus' name.